The scripture reading tonight will be Isaiah 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. Vindicates me. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment.
Just a moment, we're going to be looking at the third of the four servant songs that we read about in the book of Isaiah. And before I get there, I just want to make a few comments. I certainly appreciate the time I've been here working with this congregation. We're about to finish a complete school year, and it's interesting, as you become a part of a congregation, you become more aware of the needs and the things that we need to do. And I really hope that we can continue to be aware of who is with us and who is not with us, have an opportunity to encourage those. The Lord has given us opportunities here unlike any place I've ever been. We have new contacts every week. In a few weeks, we're going to have a lot of new contacts. And one of the things we need, from several standpoints, we need our men to step up a little more. I think it's a good thing always to do that. But I certainly would appreciate, if you haven't been as involved as in the past, to take the next step. We're going to need help as we take the opportunities the Lord places before us. So I just want to encourage you with that before we get into the lesson tonight. I hope one day this congregation will have elders. And the reason why we'll have elders is because we'll have men and women, frankly, that step up and get involved to the fullest of their ability in the work of the Lord. Tonight we're going to be studying Isaiah 50. I love the study of the servant songs. I used to be very familiar and study Isaiah 53, and it wasn't until years later that I realized Isaiah 53 is the fourth of four servant songs describing the Messiah in the book of Isaiah. The reason why I've titled the series In Search of the Servant of God: imagine you were reading these prophecies in Isaiah before Jesus came. Here God is giving you some clues as to what Jesus would do, what he would say, what he would be like. Would you be able, if you had lived when Jesus came, to say, there's the man, that's him, that's the servant of God? And of course, as we study the characteristics of Jesus, we sang the song about who will follow Jesus. tonight we're going to learn that if you really want to follow Jesus, it's dangerous. It's blessed, but it's dangerous. If you really follow Jesus, you will not be on a seat of ease. He will challenge you to your core. As just as a review, we've already seen some things that this servant would do, the power of this servant. The Lord wanted him to bring back and unite Israel. Of course, we would understand that there would come a time later where Israel would be divided and scattered. And of course, there was the physical coming back of Israel. But then not everyone came back. There was a scattering of those in Israel throughout the world, and that facilitated the spread of the gospel. But we read in the servant's song in Isaiah 49 that he was going to bring Jacob back to him. Israel gathered back to him, and no longer a physical gathering. It was going to be a spiritual gathering. We've also learned from the last servant song we studied that not only would Israel be reunited, but the awesome, unbelievable thing that was going to happen was that Israel and the Gentiles would be brought together. And that would be inconceivable to the Gentile at this time and to the Jew. In Isaiah 49:6, indeed he says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Here we're describing a servant. Somebody who serves. And people say, well, that a servant can't be very powerful. Oh, no, my friend. A servant is going to be the most powerful one who's ever walked the face of this earth. Walking as a servant, walking as a humble person, as we're going to learn tonight, walking as one who hears and accomplishes unbelievable things. Again, as you read these prophecies, you're kind of scratching your head. How can this happen? This is going to be interesting. Of course, now we on this side of the cross can look back and see how it happened. And so in this servant song tonight, we're going to learn, how did Jesus get his power? Really, how did he get his power? Was it just automatically because he was deity, he had that power? No. What we're going to see as he became both man and God, as he was in this life, he showed us the way to find strength. Now, John 5:19, Jesus put it this way. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus is going to teach us by being the ultimate servant, doing nothing on your own initiative, nothing through your own wisdom, totally listening to the Father is where power is going to be found. And we'll be looking in just a moment about how Jesus is described that way. Another verse in John 5, it says, John 5:20, where the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Notice again, Jesus says, I'm coming to listen and do the Father's will. Listen and do the Father's will. Nothing but that. Why does this church exist? Why don't we just go to an existing church somewhere else? Why don't we just join the denominations, pick the denomination of our choice amongst the churches? Why do we exist? I want to maintain to you that we exist because we're taking the very same stand that Jesus is taking. Let's do nothing but the will of God. And that eliminates a lot of things that you see in the religious world today. Again, John 5:26, "For as the Father has life in himself, and so has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man." I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You know, sometimes we'll put it this way. Let's have book, chapter, and verse for our practices. Sometimes we put it this way. Let us simply let our total motive, our direction, be found in the Word of God, meditating, memorizing Scripture, looking ahead, letting Jesus be our Lord. That will take you to a radical position. But guess what? Power comes here. We read some of this already, but this to me, I've never, as I've studied the nature of God, I've never seen a verse quite like this. You know, when we talk about God, we hear about the voice of God, the tongue of God, the arm of God, the hand of God. In this verse, we're going to read about the ear of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Look at this verse. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." You know what happens when you really commit yourself to really hearing? You're going to be taking places you would never imagine you'd go. The real first step in us really being a servant is learning to hear. Now, we had a fun class for those that wanted to come to our house last night on communication and personality. And we talked about sometimes of how it's difficult to communicate. And there's sometimes we don't want to hear. Sometimes, you know, if you put me in front of a TV set and somebody had a cooking show, I might watch it. The words may go into my ear, but let me tell you something. I'm not hearing that program. You know what I mean by that? I'm not going to go cook. They can teach me all day long, but it's never been my intention to cook. I like some of you to cook, and I'll eat your food, and I like that. But we come to the will of God. What if you're really here to obey? Ooh, let me show you where that will lead you. First off, we do see that Jesus did have a powerful tongue. It is described in Revelation 1:16 that out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. We know the power of the word of Jesus. Where did the word of Jesus gain power? It came from his ear. It started in his ear and then it went to his tongue. But he had a powerful, powerful tongue. And during the ministry of Jesus, people would hear Jesus. And they would just marvel. How many times do you read? They would hear him teach and say, "Buddy, this is not like the Pharisees. Whoa, we're hearing things here we've never heard." Matthew 13:54, when he had came to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue and they were astonished. And said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" I think one of the mistakes that Christians have made over the years is we've tried to come up with our own colleges and educations of learning to somehow make somebody a good preacher. Not against going to college, not against brethren owning a college. But ultimately, where men of faith come from is not necessarily in the they have. But it is in the kind of heart a person has to really listen and do. Jesus, even as a young man, remember when his parents couldn't find him, they found him in the midst of the temple. And Luke 2:46, "Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." I've seen new Christians that would say, "Man, I just don't know the Bible like many of the members here do." Let me tell you what you can do. Become a great hearer. Become a person that every opportunity you have is a time to eat and feast on God's word and really seriously listen. God will grant you knowledge. And He'll grant a power in your life that is going to be awesome. Now let me tell you what the tongue of Jesus could do. One of the things that the tongue of Jesus could do, we've already studied earlier, of how he was very gentle. And this is from an earlier servant song, the first one. It says, "He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." One thing we learned about Jesus, even though he had such power in his words, the words could also help those that were weak and encourage them. You know, you find out when somebody has power, of whether or not it's really the power of God or the power of men. You know, the power of God is commonly used to help people whose life is weak, who are discouraged, and even though there's great power to crush, that power is used to gently bring somebody back to life. That's the kind of tongues we need to have in this church and in my life and in your life. Powerful men will crush the weak. You see, learned men may have a lot of knowledge, but they may not know how to speak. You know what we need more of, brethren? Not just Bible study. But we need Bible study, and we need a love for God. We need Bible study, and we need a love for others. As we talk about we need our men and women to stand up, we're not talking about to reach some kind of position of power where people recognize you. We're talking about serving because you love other people. The stronger this church can become before the Lord, the better off we're going to be in helping those that are weak and helping those that are struggling and being aware of that. Remember the power of the words of Jesus? What did Jesus say in His ministry? The powerful words He has, what does He use those words for? Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Jesus knows how to encourage. Brethren, you and I are people of encouragement. Thinking of others, caring about others. Is that how we use our tongues? Let's go back to the ear. In order to learn, you got to hear. And here we find that the servant's heart was open to God, his ear was open because he really trusted God. Some people ask me, well, Larry, where did you go to learn how to preach? Of course, some people may be asking the question, now you need to go back and let that cook a little longer. I don't know. I realize, you know, as I talk about whatever I do and however I teach, it's been really from just my own hearing and studying. Any one of you, regardless of your educational background, have this promise in the Word of God. In Psalms 119:99, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I like how it's put in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it as the Word of men, but not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also effectively works in you that believe. Listen, there's listening and then there's listening. There's the acceptance of the words, but then hearing the words is the Word of God. You see, how you hear makes a difference. And I will tell you, I look out amongst us right now. I have great optimism for every one of you. I can't look at your heart right now and see what you're thinking and seeing where you're at. But one of the dangers we will face as Christians is that we can get to a point where we're no longer teachable. Maybe we're mad about something, we got a bad attitude about something, or maybe we think we've got this background and no one can teach us because I love my parents and I love my church, or I love this, or I've done this, or people have recognized me. Listen, you and I must always be teachable. When somebody says, I don't want to talk to Larry, he won't change. That's an insult. I hope it's not true. I try to live my life as one that if you have the truth, if there's something I need to know, I want to know it. Is that your attitude? You see, the people in Jesus' day were unwilling to hear. Jesus commonly would say in His teachings, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But then he went on and described Isaiah's prophecy about those who hear, but they won't understand. He goes on and talks about how these people's in the middle of verse 15, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so I should heal them. The reason why they couldn't do that, they were hard of hearing. Their hearts became dull. Very important that we never be a people to write off any question. I noticed one of our students has been involved in studying with some in another denomination, and I've been encouraging that. It's good sometimes to look and study with others. And one of the things, if you're going to be a good teacher, you need to be a good hearer first. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. We don't need to be tape recorders. We need to be caring people. Hearing, though, takes a lot of effort, a lot of time. Hearing is dangerous. It's interesting as you go through dealing with differences with brethren. You know, the Romans sometimes, I'm afraid, had more integrity than sometimes brethren have. Before you receive a charge against another and believe gossip against another person, you know, you need to talk to that person. The Romans, in Acts 25:16, It says, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meet the accusers face to face, and he has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. Be the right kind of hearer. Don't hear the gossip. Don't hear the charges. But be a careful hearer of God's word. And that's how the Bereans were described, willing to hear, being committed to principle. And so I'm not talking about sincerity within itself. Paul was sincere, and he could make mistakes, but we're talking about a commitment to stand, not worrying about consequences, but listening wherever it leads you. Let me say one more time. If you become a good hearer, you are going to go into dangerous territory. What happened to Jesus? What happened to Jesus when he was listening? Where did it lead him? Let me show you what happens. If we're not good hearers, first off, we become hypocrites. We can become like those in Romans 2, that they said they had great knowledge, but they would teach that you shouldn't steal, but they stole. And you read the verse, and we read about how the name of the Gentile, name of God was blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the hypocritical Jews. Now let me show you what happens when you are a hearer. Listen to these verses. This is a point I really want to make tonight. Jesus, his ear was opened. Where did it lead him? Verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You want to be a good hearer. Listen to where it'll lead you. It led Jesus to the cross. Talk about his back. You know who struck him on the back? There are a lot of people striking Jesus on the back that night of his betrayal, that night of his arrest. And ultimately you had a Roman soldier take that scourge, and they stripped his back naked, and they took that scourge, that there's pieces of leather with pieces of rock and glass and other things in it, and they stretched Jesus out, and they hit him, and they stripped that. It stripped the skin off his back. He went through a scourging that many people died because of that scourging. Why did he go to that scourging? Because he opened his ear. And he wasn't ashamed about where he was at. Why did people pluck out the facial hair from Jesus? Because he had an ear to hear. Why did Jesus have people spit in his face and laugh at him while he was dying? Because he had an ear that was going to hear. Be mindful. You really open your heart and ear to God, he's going to lead you in places that's going to glorify him. But now notice some other things about this. That he was placed in harm's way. He was scourged. He was slapped. His hair was pulled out. We read about that in Matthew 26. He appeared to be in a place of shame in the sense they tried to shame him. And they tried to make him ashamed in every way they could. But Jesus was never ashamed. Let me show you a verse in the Old Testament. Here it talked about how he made, back in Isaiah 50, it talked about how his face was like flint. Let me show you the Old Testament passage relating that. Here, as Ezekiel was getting ready to do the tough work of preaching during a time of apostasy, God told Ezekiel this, "Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house." Christian, if you're going to hear God, people in this world are going to beat on your shiny head. And what we've got to be, we've got to be flint heads. You know, sometimes we've got the cartoon Flintstones and we talk about that. We are the flint heads. We've got to be humble and we've got to listen. And when we know the will of God, we're going to have a head harder than those people that are going to try to make us ashamed. The world is going to try and they're going to throw the arsenal at you and try to make you ashamed. My Lord was never ashamed. That's why he went to the cross. And that's why we have eternal life. What would the Lord think if he came today? And somebody's explaining why they're half-hearted and halfway. Somebody hurt me. You think he would have any pity toward that? When here we are, we've got the example of Jesus. You see, people are going to try to make you ashamed of what is right. Now, you know what? In Jesus' ministry, there was a time where we read about the flint head of Jesus. There was an occasion where the opposition was growing. People wanted to try to kill Jesus, and Jesus now was going to go to the Passover, which ultimately he was going to be killed. In Luke 9:51, it says, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." His disciples knew what that was going to be. It's quite interesting in another account, in John's account, John 11:16, it says, "Then Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go also that we may die with him.'" Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew ahead of time that he was going to be killed. He understood, but he was doing this because he had an ear to listen. Why are you here? Christian, why are you and I here? That's ultimately what we're living for. What do we see in our life that the will of God is being accomplished in? We need to have a purpose more than anyone on the face of this earth, a purpose that will fulfill us, that we're determined to fulfill, and it needs to be in the will of God. You know, God was with Jesus. He had that flint head because he knew that God was not going to forsake him. In Psalms 22, the mind of Jesus on the cross, over and over, you see the thoughts. How did Jesus stay on the cross? He was reminded of the promises of God. Psalms 22:3, "But you were holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and they were delivered. They trusted in you and are not ashamed." Jesus on the cross, people are laughing at him. "Hey, come on down. If you're the Son of God, come on down. Hey, he saved others. Let him save himself." They were spitting at him. They were laughing at him. He was naked. He was bleeding. His own mother was there watching. And he was not going to be ashamed. He knew why he was there. He did not come down from that cross. That's the power of hearing. Later on in the chapter, "I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." Jesus hurt, he suffered. He was never ashamed. You see, there's a great power in hearing. Because you know where you ought to be. You know the kind of attitude you ought to have. You know the direction that you're going. I pray that every one of us has that power. You know what happened when we become flint heads? I'm not talking about arrogant stubbornness. I'm not talking about pride and sneering and looking down upon others. I'm talking about someone who knows the will of God and it's working in their lives. People are going to ask questions. You know, here in 1 Peter 2, it talks about how the Christian is having the war waged against him. People trying to throw stuff at us to try to back down from doctrine. You know, the religions of the day, "Oh, doctrine doesn't matter. Doctrine doesn't matter. Doctrine doesn't matter." You don't get that from reading the Scriptures. 1 Peter 2:11. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honored among the Gentiles, when they speak against you as evildoers. They may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." You know how we can even be more effective in personal evangelism? Every one of us have this attitude and be lights. We'll have people coming in and visiting services because they just had some dealings with us. And they see something different. And they want to come and find out where that came from. So again, we want to be sure that we're not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of faithful Christians. Don't be ashamed of Christ and His will. You see, Jesus was not ashamed. Neither should we. Jesus said in Luke 9:26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels." Now let's finish up this section of the great servant song. The servant had opponents. Okay, guys and girls, we're living for the Lord. It's going to be easy, right? No. You're going to have opponents. It's not if you will. Some of the greatest opponents you'll have are those that are within the church that really aren't serving the Lord. Paul talked about the dangers he faced there in that area. What do you do when you have opponents? Here's what Jesus did. Isaiah 58. He is near who justifies me. Here's the first question. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Question number two. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Third question. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they'll all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. You know, when you have opposition, many times I believe that opposition comes because God is granting you an answer to prayer. You want to grow spiritually? One of the greatest opportunities for you to grow spiritually is to go through some tough times, to go through conflict. Another promise to the Messiah is found in Psalms 34 and verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such who has a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. That's a fulfillment of prophecy, by the way, of Jesus on the cross in verse 20. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. You know, that's the assurance I need to know. I'll have enemies. I'll have adversaries. I'll have people slandering me. But because I know the Messiah, I can have this confidence. We won't read the whole verse, but just the first two verses of 1 Peter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good? Years ago, when I was going through a struggle in my own spiritual life, this is one of the early verses I memorized. And I'll never forget that question, that rhetorical question. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? You'll have adversaries, but the Lord will not forsake you. He will bless you. Have you noticed in Isaiah 50 the three questions I brought out a moment ago? Who will contend with me? Who is my adversary? Who is he who will condemn me? Does that make you think of a New Testament verse? When you look at those, you go, yeah, Romans 8. That reminds me of Romans 8. And what we find in the Messiah, as he dealt with his adversaries, he had the same mentality that we developed in Romans 8. Listen, if I've got God with me, bring the enemies on. I don't want to have enemies. I want everybody to serve the Lord. I don't have people fighting God's will. I'd like them to serve God. But if those adversaries come on, let them come up close, and here is how I'm going to win the battle. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. Yeah, we got adversaries. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Are you a hearer? Your ear is going to lead you to adversaries, but then God's promise is going to make you strong. It's going to help you grow. So we can learn a lot from the temptations and the adversaries of Jesus and choose to build our relationship with God. The last two verses, and then the lesson is over. Some interesting questions raised here in Isaiah 50. It says, who among you fears the Lord? How about it? Do you fear the Lord? Notice some other options here. Who obeys the voice of his servant? Now, see, the servant had a good ear, and he obeyed. Are you like Jesus? You got an ear to listen? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let's talk about that third one. Folks, we can play religion, and we can play church. We can kind of try to have one hand in the world and one hand with God. We can have our name on the church roll. We can be called on. but be in darkness. The Bible talks about that those who trust God, let him trust in the name of the Lord God and rely upon his God. Now notice this last verse. It's a very interesting verse. Look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourself with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Whoa. That's the end of this particular song. Let's talk about it. You see, if we fear the Lord, we're going to obey him. The third category is people that listen. They don't want to walk down the path that the Lord wants us to walk. Many of my brethren today are saying, oh, we don't have to have a chapter verse for our practice. There's nothing wrong with the perversion of the worship of the church. There's really no standard. We should be like the denominations. We just need to have a faith in God and not worry about the purpose of baptism or how we worship. And many of my brethren wholesale and the vast majority of those that once stood for the truth are going headlong down a path where they don't want the light anymore. They don't want a careful study of the Scripture. They don't want to have a reasoned discussion and study and try to see what is right and what is wrong. But they have people that are scholars. Those are our sources of light. I think in this context, people like that are sparks. People have some kind of light. They walk in something. But in this particular passage, they're not listening to the servant. You see, when I listen to the servant, I'm not going to no longer worry about some human movement. I'm not going to no longer worry about whether some college likes what I'm doing or not. The only one I have in my heart is the servant. You see, the fear of the Lord can open up your ear to another path. And you see, what it will do, we'll be involved with building men when we do that. In John 3:19-21, we read about the attitudes of the alternative. Let's go one more time, verse 11. What happens when people provide their own light? They're rejecting God's word and they're giving alternatives. The creeds of men, knowledgeable men, the wisdom of this world. There are people within various circles that will say, well, no, you're being too restrictive. You're being a legalist. You're doing this. And they come up with, you try to see a principled approach they take. It's kind of like this thing here is so uncertain. It's like sparks here described in this verse. What happens to people who reject God's way and provide their own light? Here's what one commentator said about this verse. In times of darkness and calamity, instead of trusting in God, they would confide in their own resources and endeavor to kindle a light for themselves in which they might walk. But the result would be that they would find no comfort and would ultimately, under his hand, lie down in sorrow. I would go a step further. When you read of torment, you're reading about hell. You're seeing the alternative to taking the hard path of being a good hero and taking the easy path of a comfort of which there is no comfort at all. We conclude with this point. Let us trust God and we'll not be put to shame. Joel 2:26. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Wow. Following this servant. A real challenge. And I'll tell you, it's easier to preach on it than to practice what we've studied. But what a blessing is when we know where we are going. And we're ready to fight and stand against all opposition. It's got to start with you becoming a Christian. If you're not a Christian tonight, we want to extend that invitation. And Christian, we also want to reason with you. Please, get out of the position of being halfway. Let us renew our ears tonight. Let us be determined to find God's forgiveness and in that joy, not be afraid to find the opposition of those that don't want us to go down that path. Some of you are going to have to change your friends. Some of you are going to have to change your associates. Some of you may even have to change your job when you take this path. Are you willing to trust in the Lord? You'll never be let down, ever. Let's have more flint heads. Let us all be that in the Lord's way. If you need to respond in any way, the invitation is extended as we stand and sing.